Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, President of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome my friend Jonathan Lehman to the podcast. Jonathan serves as the editorial director for Nine Marks, and he also serves as an elder at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. Jonathan, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Yeah, now listen, before we get into the meat of our conversation today, the topic of which is the pastor and church membership, give us just a word of personal update. We're recording this after Thanksgiving, before Christmas. So how are things with you, your family, Capitol Hill Baptist Church, Nine Marks Ministry?
Yeah, thank you, brother. I mean, things are good on all fronts by God's grace. Maybe the big news, just my own life, is that after being at Capitol Baptist since on and off since 1996, I'm going to be leaving with 60 other members of my church to plant a church in our suburban Maryland neighborhood. About 100 of us live in this suburban neighborhood of D.C., and 60 of us decided, hey, look, it's just going to help the cause of evangelism so much to have an actual church here. We're about 15 minutes from where we meet presently on Capitol Hill. So come January, I'm going to be doing that.
Well, God bless you, man. Anytime you uproot your family and begin a new ministry initiative like that, there's disruption there, but people need to do it for the kingdom. And I'm thrilled to hear that you and sounds like 100 or so folks are going to be making that launch with you.
Well, the good news is it's probably the least disruptive as it could be. I'm going to continue working for Nine Marks full time. And we don't have to move houses because we're moving the church closer to our house. So, and it's all my wife and kids' friends and a lot of my friends. So it's other than the sadness of leading this congregation, it's kind of goodness all around.
Oh, well, there you have it. So it's not disruptive. It's actually more convenient. So I take back everything I said about your personal self-sacrifice for ministry.
Okay.
Well, hey, listen, how are things at Nine Marks?
God just continues to give us open doors, especially overseas opportunities. Grateful for those opportunities. I hope we're affecting the evangelical conversation, bringing the centrality of the church to the Christian life increasingly back into the conversation, and helping to see people, helping Christians, somewhat individualistic Christian culture, understand that being a Christian means being a church member. It means being covenanted together with other believers. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It's covenanting yourself with other believers and helping them to follow Jesus, right? And I think, by God's grace, we're helping to disseminate that idea and get it into the bloodstream.
Well, you are. And listen, that's a great segue right into the meat of the podcast. We're talking about the pastor and church membership. And I really look forward to tearing into this topic with you. Have looked forward to it for some time. Of course, you've written on this in multiple outlets, multiple books, and article, of course, to your website there at Nine Marks, and obviously a part of the ministry of Mark Dever, and he and you guys collectively have now been bringing focus to this for several decades. So praise God for your efforts there. I guess, just a little bit of defense of the topic itself. This is a podcast, Preaching and Preachers, and people get that we would talk about preaching and homiletics and exegesis and issues of leadership occasionally, et cetera. The pastor and church membership might strike some as a stretch. Remind us, Jonathan, why church membership is important for us to be having this very conversation.
Well, if you're going to turn on the faucet and pour out the water, you need a bowl or a glass to collect it in, right? So the word is the water of life, right? That's what gives life. Church membership, that doesn't give life. The word gives life. And so your emphasis of your podcast on preaching, that's the place to begin. Amen. But now, how do we capture and hold up for the world the display of that water? Well, that's your congregation. Right, and that's when we get into conversations about membership and discipline, elders and pastors, and all of these things that are critical. What the church does is displays the gospel, it protects the gospel, shapes the gospel in each one of our lives. The church is, let me use slightly fancy language here, it's the social dynamic of the gospel, and what I mean by that is, when Jesus comes as King and Lord and says, repent and believe, think Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, repent and believe, that makes a demand on your and my life as individuals, right? means we turn away from our sins, put our trust in Christ, and follow him. And that reorients us toward the King and Lord, Jesus Christ. But it also reorients us towards everyone else who belongs to the kingdom, the church. So mom and dad come down to the orphanage, they adopt me, they bring me home, they put me at a dinner table with brothers and sisters. So that new relationship with God has, as I said before, a social dynamic. It creates new relationships with other people. We put on, think of that Pauline language, Colossians 3, we put on those new relationships, those new realities, in a local church. So don't tell me you follow Jesus if you don't gather with his people. Don't tell me you're a member of the family if you never show up at the family dinner table. So, yeah, if you want your preaching, preachers, if you want it put on display, protected, gathered, shown, well, then we got to talk about the church.
So let me ask the question this way. Just define for us what we mean by church membership. That just is a topic, as a category. What is church membership? Not what is the church, but what is membership within a church?
Yeah, church membership is the church's affirmation and oversight of an individual and their profession of faith, and the individual's submission to that church's affirmation and oversight. So you show up one Sunday, you say, hey, I believe Jesus is Lord. And the church says, great, let's baptize you into the life of this congregation and feed you the supper every week. So they affirm your profession, and then they oversee your discipleship. And then you do the same in submitting to them and helping to do that for each other. So it's a church taking responsibility for you, and it's you taking a responsibility for a church.
Jonathan, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back with Jonathan Lehman talking about the pastor and church membership. You know, I remember as a new pastor in my mid-20s, and just had been at the new church, the first time I ever pastored, been at the new church just a period of several months, and my wife and I hosting a pastor's brunch, kind of a gathering after the Sunday morning service with folks who had been recently visiting the church and had expressed interest in the ministries of the church. And we're there in our living room at the parsonage on the premises there, and I got, you know, 12, 15 folks sitting around in circles, kind of eating refreshments, talking, and I'm talking about the vision of the church and what we're praying the Lord would do. And a young man in the military, a young Army officer, said to me, he said, why should I join a church? And he said, make the case for me why church membership is important. He said, I don't believe in church membership. So there I am, 25 years old,
yeah,
an MDiv student, and had enough New Testament knowledge and enough kind of theological information. I'd read enough to kind of eke out a defense and eke out an answer there. But I know there may be some listening to this podcast that in their own way, they're asking that very question, but not as a would-be church member, but maybe as a pastor, as a preacher. And maybe the attitude goes something like this, man, with all these lost people in the world, with all the needs of our community, with all that we're trying to accomplish, should we really be spending that time talking about church membership and why a healthy, meaningful church membership is important? And by that I mean where members are actually participants of the ministries of the church, involved in the life of the church. So I guess, you know, kind of teleport yourself back into my living room circa 2002, and you're being asked that question by a critical church visitor who is critical, suspicious of church membership. What do you say to that person then? What do you say to those listening today?
Yeah, it's such a good question, right? And we do get it a lot, because I think we've understudied this topic, right? I would just say, and let's just look at the storyline of the whole Bible. God is always interested in marking off his people, who are his people, in contradistinction to the world. So the Garden of Eden having inside and outside, Noah's Ark had an inside and outside. People of God in the wilderness had an inside and outside the camp, right? Israel had an inside and an outside. Even back in Egypt, when they were in Goshen, they were marked off by the plagues, right? So God is interested in holding up his people on display and saying, O nations of the earth, here is what a society of people look like who follow me, right? So throughout the Bible, you have covenantal signs which indicate who his people are, right? So the people of Israel, starting with Abraham, had the covenant sign of circumcision. And the people of Israel, starting at Mount Sinai, had the Sabbath as their covenant sign. Well, what's the covenant sign for people of the New Testament? Well, it's baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are the things that mark off who the people of God are, right, on planet Earth. And membership is that people. That's all it is. It's that people who are marked off as God's people, who are demonstrated, shown to be his people through the covenant signs of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Where do we see this in the New Testament? Well, Matthew 18, Jesus says, tell it to the church. If they don't listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan and tax collector. So a person is being put out of the church. Well, they have to be inside before they're put outside. 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says, you know, when this man is committing adultery, he says, when you're assembled in the name of the Lord, put this one out of your fellowship. Hand him over to Satan. Again, he was on the inside. In fact, a few verses later, in verses 12 and 13, he says, it's not those outside the church you are to judge. It is those inside the church you are to judge. In other words, this man's profession and his life are living in opposition to one another, and you're to not judge him in the sense of final condemnation, though that belongs to the Lord, but in the sense of his walk and his talk don't match. You need to remove him, Paul's word, remove him from membership in the church. And then the last thing I would say is, have you ever noticed how all the metaphors from Scripture, or for the church in Scripture, are corporate metaphors? Flock, temple with bricks, vine and branches, a people, a body with different parts. You know, so to, as I said before, to put on my membership in the church, quote unquote, universal, I got to put it on somewhere. And so throughout the New Testament, with the exception of maybe the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, Christians who, you know, in the middle of the desert, there's nobody else there, Christians are just always part of churches. And the language we use for that these days is membership. I'm not preoccupied about the language we use, but I think that's a good service. Some people call them partners, you know, whatever. Not so much worried about that word as the reality of me covenanting together with these other fellow believers in Christ.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that, and you, by the way, done just an eloquent job of fleshing out at the basic level what church membership is and why it matters, is throughout the New Testament, we see consistently in the epistles, in the book of Acts, this demarcating who's in and who's out. Who's in and who's out. Even you look at, you know, some of these great, you know, the Pentecost, Acts 2, even this quantifying of people, it's not just because, you know, the apostles were first century pragmatists. It's this sense of getting their minds and their arms around who's in this fellowship, who's a part of this word, who's been baptized into this community. And it's this clear sense of who's in, who's out, who's in, who's
exactly
out.
Right. Exactly right.
So we serve in a convention, a denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, one that I'm giving my life to serving. I love, you love, you guys obviously are Southern Baptist Church. You serve personally as a trustee in one of our entities. We have about 15.5 million members. On any given Sunday, we have 5 to 6 million who show up in worship. Now, even if you kind of put out some appropriate caveats of the infirmed, of people deployed overseas from military, the fact that life circumstances mean that, you know, everyone doesn't attend every single Sunday, even if you put out some of those caveats, and even if you put them out in generous forms, we still have a massive gap between the amount of members on our church rolls and those who actually are involved at some level, even a small level, in the life and ministry of our local churches. How seriously should we take that disparity?
Between attendance and membership?
Yes, and not just at the local church, but as we think about serving our denomination and more broadly just evangelicalism.
Well, I mean, I think of the author of Hebrews 10, where he says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it's not just assembling, hold on here, I'm opening up my Bible and I'm quickly flipping, because he has a number of charges there as well. It's not assembling for the sake of assembling. It's to push one another onto love and good deeds. Let's see, he says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with the heart sprinkled Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And verse 24, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the day more as you see the day drawing near. A couple things to notice about that. First, what's the goal of getting together? Well, it's to stir one another up to love and good deeds. What does that mean we not do? It means we not neglect meeting together. And what else do we also do? Well, encouraging one another. And why? Well, the day of judgment is drawing near. That's a pretty big warning for non-attendance. Day, capital D, day of judgment, right? As if to say, look, if you call yourself a Christian, but you are not in the habit of gathering with other Christians to encourage and stir them up to love and good deeds, I'm just exegeting the verse here, you need to be afraid of the day of judgment. And verse 27 goes on, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire. So the author of Hebrews thinks, look, gathering, assembling to do this work together is a big deal. And therefore, I think our churches, in one form or another, need to help our members realize this is a big deal. I think people often leave, churches will often leave members on the rolls for years, though they never see them, know them, never attend. And they do that, I think, for sincere good reasons, like we want to know they're welcome back. We don't want to put them off. We don't want to put a stumbling block in their path. And we know where they are. We think maybe they're doing okay. But I guess I want to say, well, the author of Hebrews takes it a lot more seriously than that. I think we love people by sometimes saying, look, you can't keep calling yourself a Christian if you're never at the family dinner table. And we as a church can't continue to affirm you. So we'd encourage you, please join another. Don't be part of this church. Join another church. A lot of great churches in our city. Join one of them. Just someplace where for your own good, you can covenant with these people, be under their teaching, accountability, life, and love, and ministry. And, I think the Christian life, Jason, starts at home, right? It starts in one's own local church. And then and then in terms of our denominational activities and so forth, I think it needs to spill out from there. So I want to make sure you're a good churchman. And then let's talk denomination. Then let's talk how can we help other churches. That's an important thing to do. How do we partner together for missions and seminary education? Like, that's all crucial. But I want to start by asking the question, are you gathering weekly with these brothers and sisters in Christ so that they know you and so that you know them, so that together you're sitting under the preaching of the word? And our church will even eventually, and this isn't something most churches should do until a lot of other things are in place, but eventually we will move towards church discipline for non-attendance. If we know that you're not attending another church and you're just home every Sunday and you've not been here in a year, you know, it's not like we're trying to be mean or something.
Right.
It's just like we cannot, with integrity, keep telling the world that you're a believer.
That's right.
So
that's
you
right.
Might be. You might be. But we're not going to go on record for your sake. So
right.
We're removing that affirmation from you.
So let me, and time is flying by here, but let me just try to sharpen the question and the topic in a couple more ways.
Is that because I'm long-winded?
No. It's because you're thorough and you're giving good answers. What does a healthy church member look like? Describe the person that, again, we're not looking for perfection here. Does that look like you're there every Lord's Day? You're there every time God's people gather, period, whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night? I mean, what is kind of an acceptable, healthy level of local church participation at Capitol Hill Baptist Church?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing, so I'm sitting down, say, for a pastor when I'm interviewing somebody for joining the church. And we kind of get to the end, I sort of lay out some of those expectations. Some of the things I'm going to say is just like, the first thing we want you to worry about is a ministry of attendance. Don't worry right away about getting involved in this or that ministry. Rather, we want you to undertake, get this, the ministry of being there. And by being there, we mean showing up early if you can, staying late, because we want you to get to know other people. We want to cultivate a culture of discipling in this congregation and hospitality, where church is understood not to be something, it's not an event, it's not a one day a week event, it's an all week family, right? And the ministry of being there is a way of facilitating this all week family. So don't just show up for, you know, your 90 minutes on Sunday morning that disappear all week and that's all you got at the church. No, get to know people. Hopefully people will invite you to dinner, invite you to lunch, go out with them after church on Sunday, you know, meet with know, eventually there might be a small group involved. Different ways of just knowing and being known. We're big on organic, right? We're big on relationships, pushing those relationships and having. And so Sunday after Sunday, you'll hear the preacher make applications to the church's life. You'll hear things like, you know, if you're a Christian, you're a member of the church, what this means is having awkward conversations in which you're confessing sin or being willing to admonish a brother in sin or encourage, you know, building a culture of encouragement. So the most important thing, Jason, is getting to know people and being known. And all of that is a part of, okay, what's a church member's job? All of that is taking responsibilities for one another's discipleship. Remember what I said membership is. I said it's an affirmation and oversight of one another's professions of faith. So that means showing up to membership meetings. So back to my pastoral interview, I'll say, look, every other month we have a members meeting. It's important that you be there because that's when we receive members and we dismiss members or say goodbye to members and occasionally practice church discipline. You're responsible for that. That's not the pastor's job. That's your job. We're trying to equip you for your job. So you got to know the gospel and you got to get to start knowing these people. You're not responsible for all 1,000. You're responsible for whatever your emotional wallet and your weekly schedule is capable of sustaining, without burning you out. So get to know people and oversee them and one another in the faith. So the members meeting is part of that. We encourage you to make sure you're there for the Lord's Supper every time we practice it. And then it's out of there, Jason, that you start thinking about, okay, get involved in children's ministry, get involved in music ministry, evangelism, various service things. Like all of those things grow out of this most basic thing, this all-week family life together that's spurred on by the weekly gathering. So that's what we try to emphasize with members of the church.
Very well put. Thank you for fleshing that out. One final question before our time wraps up here. Let's say for the many pastors listening to this podcast, and man, they're kind of wincing as they're hearing us talk. They realize that they have, let's say, an inflated membership role, not that they're doing that sinisterly, not because they're trying to gin up numbers, not because they have any emotion, just because they inherited. They went to a church that has 1,200 on roll and 200 on Sunday, right? There are more churches than not like that.
Yeah.
What do you say to them? How do you lovingly lead a church to think about this, to engage this without, without losing your congregation along the way? I mean, you want to be responsible, loving. You want to be a shepherd that's faithful to the sheep. Just any words of counsel you would give?
Yeah, sure. Well, what's the goal? The goal is that your membership role is to reflect who you look out and see on Sunday morning, more or less. Right? People go on vacation, whatever, fine. But the people I'm looking out at Sunday morning, seeing them, that's who's on my membership role. So that's the goal. And let's accommodate shut-ins. Some people just can't make it, fine. And maybe you have college students wait for a little bit. Okay, we have people in the military, a lot of military. Okay, so there's some exceptions. But on the whole, that's the goal. How do you get there? Slowly, carefully, gently, through lots of teaching, lots of loving, right? So our congregation here on Capitol Hill, I mean, it started with, I want to say there's 700-800 members and 150 here on a Sunday. And one of the things the pastor did at the time is he got a couple of the older ladies in the church, the ones who kind of were most likely to know all of those people who hadn't been here for 30 years, to get them to start calling around and trying to track down these people. And meanwhile, he's starting to remove people, having the congregation remove people. So he started with, this is the easy one, the dead people. We have dead people on a roll. That's easy, let's remove them. And then he moved kind of one concentric circle in, people who we can't even track down. Let's slowly try to remove those. And so on and so forth. Obviously, when you get to family members in the city, but they've not been here since they were in the youth group, and that's really tough. That's when the politics start. Okay, meanwhile, you're also just teaching on what a church is. You're teaching on membership and responsibility. So you're helping to change the people's intuitions. So here's the crucial thing. If your church intuitions are, church is a once-a-week performance where I show up, they put on a good show, and hey, that's cool. Everything I'm saying to you right now just doesn't even make sense. And if I inherit a church where that's the case, trying to remove people from the roles is not going to make sense, right? But the more through that over time, through teaching, I'm helping to change the intuitions, just kind of the baseline assumptions among Christians of what the church is. It is this covenanted, ordered family of people who are taking mutual responsibility for one another. The more they just look at the Bible and see that it's everywhere and realize that this is what a church is. The idea that somebody's not been there for 2 years would be kind of jarring for them. It won't make sense. Something in them, the Spirit of God, working through the Word of God in them will say, yeah, this doesn't work. We've got to do something. So it's going to be over time, years even, that you're helping to reform through instruction, reform what people think the church is. You're still going to have to pick some fights. You're still going to have some battles. People are very sentimental about their connections and associations, but it's just trying to persuade them. Look, our membership, if they're not here, it's not like this magical force field that's doing them some sort of spiritual good. It's not. It's only good insofar as it's put into practice through actual relationships. We want to do them good. For their sake, let's remove them. That's just a long, slow process.
Jonathan, this has been a helpful, encouraging, stimulating, biblical, I run out of adjectives here, conversation. Man, thank you for the gift of your time. Thank you for your ministry with Nine Marks and the church plant you're part of. And man, may the Lord bless you and all that you're doing there, especially you and your family as we approach this Christmas season. So with that, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.